I was trying to get the chronology right. So about 47 or so was when you were in Salt Lake.
Yeah. Uh-huh. September, let's see, we got married on September the 1st, we left September the 3rd and went to Salt Lake, mm-hmm. and we returned to California August the 31st. Mm-hmm. So we were there just about a whole year.
Now, did you, okay, that was your first time living away
yep.
from your family. How did that feel to you?
I was very, very homesick at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed them greatly, but also, I think because the two of us enjoyed each other's company and we were working together on something, and I think that helped get over a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was sort of wound up, yes, we missed our families, but instead of returning to the Seattle area, because we both realized, see, Josh's father had kind of given him a bad time too, and so I think we both realized it wouldn't be too advisable to go back to Seattle because my mother, well, she didn't come to the wedding, and she really, neither one of the parents, but my mother specifically, because I think she was sort of the stronger one,
mm-hmm.
we both realized there would have been some static there, that we would have had problems with relations and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more inclined towards San Francisco area anyway. I had always wanted to live there. I had seen it once before, and I always thought, oh, San Francisco, you know, I left my heart in San Francisco, so to speak, and I always thought it was beautiful. So we just figured, okay, that would be the place to go. And we tried to do something in San Francisco, like he was trying to work, and finally wound up working in a gas station. And then he wouldn't leave that, because that was about the time of the Korean War, and he said, well, if he stayed at Standard, what they did, if you were drafted from Standard, they would continue to pay you, but the check would go to your wife. So he figured I would be more comfortable, better off, if he could at least do that much for me. And then I had tried going to school in San Francisco, and we went there a year. But then it was through friends we finally we went down to the peninsula one weekend and stayed overnight with them. And we looked at houses, and we found, this is when they still just had started building tracks, and we found a house for $8,100, and we bought that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we got out of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we've never gotten out of California since.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an adopted daughter, I guess, of California.
Did, so you did complete a medical technician type degree then?
Right. When I went to San Jose State, like I said, California having different laws and everything, you had a major in, the other school was a major in medical technology. This was a biological science degree. And I had a choice of either having math or chemistry for a minor, and I took the math this time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I graduated in. See, I graduated in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it took me that long again. I felt like I was forever going through school.
Mm-hmm.
But because there were so many other classes, and then throw in some time away from there, too, because I worked part-time for a while, and I just didn't take a full load.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason, too, why it wound up to be longer than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm. And then did you then get a job as a medical?
Yeah, I was going to intern, I think it was for the county hospital in San Jose. And I just about had that lined up when one of my friends in class, can't remember her name. Anyway, she told me one day, she says, Betty, she says, I got a job through the Sylvania Electronics Company, and it's right near where you live. Now, she says, I'm going to get married, and I'm not going to take the job. Why don't you go over and talk to them and tell them that you know about me, I'm not taking the job, that you would like to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, that way I don't have to face them and tell them that after they sign me up that I'm getting married, that I'm sort of leaving them in the lurch. So I went to the company, and they hired me, and it was like 2.5 miles, only from my house. And it was working in a lab, except it was a chemistry and a plating lab instead of a medical lab,
mm-hmm.
which appealed to me even more, because like I said, I wish I had majored in chemistry instead. So anyway, they hired me, and that's where I worked until Josh got through school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until a month before my daughter was born.
Mm-hmm. Now, so when you worked there, it was as a lab?
I was a lab assistant. Let's see, I think they called me a technician at the time. And I reported, it was just myself and the fellow I reported to that had anything to do with this lab, and he was a chemical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reported to a production manager and then the president of the company. And let's see, I started out, I guess it was like about $300 a month. I think that's what it was. No, I take that back. It must have been $200 and something with it, because remember I got a raise to $300, and there was some other engineer that was provoked because he didn't get as big a raise as I did. Anyway, I worked in that lab all that time, and I'm trying to think, it wasn't maybe about a year after that, they transferred my boss to another part of that lab, and they gave me the lab. I was then supervisor, but they also, because I had a degree, and like a white-collar worker, and working out in the plant, they gave me the title of engineer. Mm-hmm. And then when I had it, then there was a couple of girls that started out with maybe one or two girls that reported to me, and the most I had at one time, there were 10 girls reporting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also...
All women?
Yeah, it was all women then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sylvania also had an engineering section that they started to bring in gradually. And that's another area that my boss went into. He gradually started to move over to get things set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in the engineering part. I still was attached to the production section.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he and I would, you know, we would talk together, but he just reported to a different section than I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, were you, like, checking the, like, testing production pieces or whatever? For
yes.
Like
well, like I said, it was chemistry and it was plating.
Mm-hmm.
So on the chemistry part of it, I would test the plating tanks, make sure that all the chemicals were up. If we had to have a new tank, if one had to be emptied and cleaned out, I would make that up. We'd always be testing for something, so there was a lot of things like this as far as the chemistry part. And then as far as the plating, I would do a lot of experimenting. We were doing little, well, klystron tubes and traveling wave tubes, and at that time it was a hush-hush thing. It was, and that's been so long ago, it's, in fact, is it's not even in existence anymore. But they had a jet that we were working on and a lot of test equipment for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the engineers would bring in something, and I need just a little tiny gold plating on this little mark right here. So I would get little fine things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they didn't come in, well, then I'd go back to helping the girls, and we'd wire things for copper plating. And let's see, we had two or three different types of plating in there. The copper, nickel, cadmium, silver, and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took care of all of that.
So you basically... enjoyed doing that kind of work more than
oh, yeah.
You would have.
Yes, I loved that. So I think the hospital work was very, it was very interesting. I just happened to like lab work. I think I would have enjoyed the lab work.
Mm-hmm.
But this other, because I did it, I think, that's why I say, I think I like that better in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I really shouldn't say anything because I didn't work in the hospital lab that much. But I don't know, that type of work just extremely fascinated me.
Mm-hmm. Was it unusual for a woman to have been supervising?
Oh, yeah. They didn't have that many. I think there might have been, well, they had lead girls, but as far as being a supervisor, I think I was the only one, and I think what I'd been told, I was supposed to be their first woman engineer,
mm-hmm.
which naturally was very thrilling to me at that time.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you get any... from anyone about being?
I certainly did. This is where the male-female thing comes in, and when they talk about women's lib, boy, oh boy, this is where the whole darn thing came in, and I, even to this day, if I'd known then, I really would have told the son of a gun off, and I really would have run him right into the president's office.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the production manager, and a lot of these people had come out from the, I think they had another plant of Sylvania back in West Virginia, but I think he came out from West Virginia. And he didn't have a college education. He was one that came up through the ranks. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but when it affects the male ego, then there's lots wrong with it. And he could not stand to think that there was a woman white-collar worker, and he didn't like it one bit. He thought that I should be at home, and he hassled me every way he possibly could. And like I said, this, it was a big plant. It was like you walk in one door, and it's a big, long building, and it's all open. And the only reason why you can't see from one end of it to the other or see everybody is because there would be, say, a big piece of equipment in the way. Otherwise, it was open. There was no walls, no separate rooms. Even the plating lab was, the chemistry lab was out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I never sat down. really great for keeping your weight down. But anyway, be constantly running, constantly moving, really working hard. And all of a sudden, you know how you all of a sudden look at someone, someone's been staring at you, you're aware of someone looking at you?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden I come to and I look across the room, and he'd be standing over clear across the room watching me. And I think, confound you, what the heck's the matter with you now? I am working hard, don't bother me. I got other things I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he hassled me right up until practically the day I quit.
Mm-hmm.
I got pregnant with my first child, that was my son. And let's see, I quit about a month before he was born. I think I was off a total of 4 months, because then I came back to work after he was 3 months old. And of course, I came back to my job. They kept it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little while later, I had my daughter, and I quit a month before she was born. And so naturally, here I am. I'm very big and everything. And they knew I wasn't coming back this time, so they transferred me to the engineering lab. And this jerk still hassled me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want me doing this or that, or he thought, I don't even want you in the lab, even though when I had work in there to do, he didn't want me in there. He just hassled me, anyone he could possibly think of.
Did you have support from anybody else in the company, I mean, on the other side of the fence from him? Or?
Oh, yeah. I had, like the way the company was arranged, the president of it, I knew, he knew everybody, but you'd know him, because he just didn't sit in some ivory tower someplace and he wasn't, you know, protected like, and you just knew it. And so it being very, a little bit informal, sometimes he and I would have coffee together. Well, I had his protection.
Mm-hmm.
And, a couple of times I would comment about him and he says, oh, he was that way back east. Don't pay attention to it. And I don't know. There was someone between myself and this other fellow. He was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the, like the engineers and so forth, They were very good, and when I came back to work, someone would come and shake my hand, glad you're back, now we can get work done, we appreciate you being here. When I left, they gave me a gift, so, you know, it was just this one particular yahoo.
About what year was your son born?
The oldest one was born in 55.
In 55?
Yeah.
So, had you and your husband practiced like a family planning? Did you plan your family, or
did? No. When we married, his health wasn't that great, so it was a physical thing. He was so thin that, that was another thing, too. When I worked as a lab technician, there was a doctor that was on the floor above that specialized in male problems. And so they would bring down, say, like sperm counts and so forth. And so I get a sperm count on Josh to find out, what do I do on this? This would help me in my lab. And he was so sterile that time, we just sort of figured, okay, kids are for everybody else. And we didn't do anything for or against. We didn't encourage it. I don't think we even gave it any thought, like, well, are we going to adopt later on? It was like, well, I guess kids are for everybody else. And maybe one of these days we'll sit down and think about it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did get pregnant, wow, I'm pregnant. It was bewildering in a way, like, well, for heaven's sakes. And so I will jokingly say to this day, well, a shrug of the shoulders did it. That, oh, I guess kids for everybody else, you know. And so that's how I got pregnant. Everybody else gets pregnant the other way, but I didn't. I shrugged my shoulders.
So it wasn't, you didn't use any form of birth control?
No.
Or anything like
no.
Then you had a policy of maternity leave
for a while? Yeah. They gave me maternity leave, and I think also I had insurance from them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't any problem. Like I said, they kept the job for me, and I came back to it, like the first time, well, the first and only time I left. That was a four-month interval there. And as long as I felt well and so forth, I worked in that lab right up, you know, until the day I quit and so I could sit down.
Mm-hmm. When you found out you were pregnant, what were your thoughts about what you would do about work? I mean, did you worry about what would happen with the job?
I was really torn up on it because, for one thing, I wanted to stay home with the baby. Two, I wanted to help Josh get through. Three, I really enjoyed that job, and I just didn't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I enjoyed working, and I thought I should really be home with that baby. And my mind was sort of made up for him because Josh kept saying, but I've got to get through school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better that you work. I can, spend all my time studying and get through engineering. And he said, when I get through that, then we'll take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, my mind was made up for me.
Mm-hmm. How did you arrange childcare?
For the oldest one, that was a chore because I kept trying to find babysitters, and I think I went through five of them. You know, I'd find somebody that could take him for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I was paying $10 a week at that time for childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, she was taking care of some other little baby, and I guess almost about the same age as my son, and I think I had her the longest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that she caused more trouble than any of the others put together. She, don't do this, don't do that, no, no, no. And she wanted the money, but as far as really caring for the child, you know, like some women will just, oh, I like taking care of kids, you know, and it's one of these things. You can luck out when you find someone this way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I stayed home with Tad, he was, I guess, a little over 2 years. And his attitude was rather antagonistic, and I'd go to be affectionate with him, and he just kind of closed up, and I thought, okay, doggone it, child, you're going to love me, and you're going to be affectionate, and I'm just going to keep working away at you, and I'm going to take this thing gradually, but I'm going to get you over that because I'm not going to have you with that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it all came from that one last babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a chore, always trying to find someone, because you just didn't want any old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think at that time there were any of the, like some of these neat places where they have like the preschool sort of thing, which really would have worked out nice.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have that sort of thing in that area.
Mm-hmm. Was your husband home at all during the day, or was it just,
He'd be home, Well, you know when you go to classes sometimes, and some days you get off earlier than others, well, he'd be home earlier. And then he would pick up Tad when he was home earlier. And I think, he'd have a day off, and he'd keep Tad with him. And I think there was a good relationship build up because of that, because he'd have Tad to himself. If he was out working the yard, he'd have Tad with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of him. He never once hesitated to change diapers or to feed the baby. He never felt like, oh, God, you're all dirty and I got to take care of you. And he was always clean when I came home, and it was just, well, I love you and you're my son and I'm going to take care of you. Nothing, absolutely no, holding back on as far as caring for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to the store, naturally, you never got a babysitter. You always, come on, you're going to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
He took him any place he could.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I think that held him back was that if he had a lot of homework and was down at school for a while.
Mm-hmm. Was there, what year was your daughter born?
57.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. So they're about what?
Let's see. Tad was 2 in June, and Becky would be born the end of October, so it's just like 2 years and a few months there.
So the five babysitters that you went through, was that during that?
That was just for Tad, yeah. That was up until, right, until I quit, I think it was the end of September, just before Becky was born.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I quit work. That was back to, is that the last I've worked? Yeah, I guess it is. Oh, and I had a part-time job one time as a meantime supervisor at a grade school. But then that was no problem because I was right across the street and my kids were there, and so didn't have to worry about babysitters or anything. Here I am, children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about leaving at that time, leaving the job?
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, terrible because I really enjoyed my job. Good because I could be at home. And then Josh didn't graduate until the following June. And so we lived off of savings until he graduated. And it was just really a mixed emotions because the job was great, but then I got to be home with my family. So I don't know. It was just awful. You know, you wanted to be in two places at one time, and how can you resolve that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in one way, it was resolved for me. Because then I didn't go back to work. I was home from then on with the kids all the time.
Mm-hmm. Had you, before your son was born, had you read any of the old baby books that were coming out around then? Dr. Spock and
yeah, in fact, because I still got the original book. It was a paperback, and I had Dr. Spock, and that was almost like a Bible to me because, well, what do I do? What do I expect? Oh, yes, and I had another one on child psychology. What is it, Ilgs and James? I think it is at ILG, and I think it's James. Anyway, I had that one, and I constantly referred to that. But then, okay, as far as the pregnancy goes, I read a lot about that because, well, I'd never been around a pregnant person from the standpoint of asking them questions, well, how does it feel, what do you expect, what do you do? And so the only information I had was between the obstetrician and what I read in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Went into a totally ignorant, which is really terrible in one way, mm-hmm. but then, I don't know, I guess that would be about the only way it could be.
Was the same true for us when your daughter was born? Had you done the same kind of...
Yeah, for her, okay, like I said, I was bewildered with Tad. Becky I wanted because I thought, well, okay, I've got the boy, so I should have a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted her, and in fact, I just wanted her so bad, I just knew when I conceived, and I knew she was a girl. Never had any boys' names picked out, just, that was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't argue with me, I know it's a girl.
Mm-hmm. Were there things that you had, in terms of, like, with her, and with Tad, were there certain kinds of toys or clothing or things that you had them grow up with?
Let's see. Toys, you mean like swing sets and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had that. Clothes, Becky was in little overalls most of the time. Because, well, okay, her being born the end of October, and we were up in, well, in Northern California, felt like she was warmer that way. As far as specific, say, brands or things like that, I can't remember anything except, oh, play school. There was a lot of gifts along that line.
The educational.
Yeah, course. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always make sure they had books. I just brainwashed on that, and so... There had to be books.
Mm-hmm.
And we also would take them everywhere with us. We never went on a trip that we left them at home with anyone. They went everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they were, let's see, they were still in grade school, I think it was, and we went to Hawaii, and we took them with us. And people thought we were crazy for taking those kids. Well, what do you want to go to Hawaii with your kids for? Well, the funny part about it is that they still remember a lot of that. Even to this day, the trip came about in an interesting way. We didn't pay for the trip. But anyway, they went on the plane first class with us. They ate at the table with us. We took them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something I think they thoroughly enjoyed. I think they got a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a very educational thing for them.
Mm-hmm. So did you, in terms of your social life, well, say before the children were born, were you and Josh able to do things together socially?
Oh, yeah. We did a lot together. We, I think right from the very time we ever got married, we started doing things together, even though, okay, we would work a good 6 days a week, and we would always take Sunday, and we would go to church Sunday morning. That was the first year. And then after we got the car, we would go sightseeing around Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then... after we came out to the West Coast, I don't know, we always did a whole lot of stuff together. And fact is, people are going to think I'm archaic when I mention this, but, okay, when we were in San Francisco and he was working for a gas station, he had different hours than I did, and I was working for the telephone company then. So naturally, mine's just a 5-day-a-week, 8-to-5 job, and his is just, oh, horrible hours. I would never go anywhere unless he could go, because for some reason or other, we always have the philosophy, well, why should I go enjoy myself when you're working hard? And you're not here to enjoy it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've almost carried that out even to today. I may do things during the day while he's gone,
mm-hmm.
but very seldom on the weekend unless he's working on a Saturday. And but we do so much together I don't think it's ever been a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of the same interests. And I don't know, I don't feel like I've suffered any from it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I want to get back to know that the kinds of things you do as a friend, but you mentioned working at the telephone company, and I remember that you mentioned in Salt Lake you worked for a while with a freighting.
Yeah, with a freight company, say like, it was a small freight company, you know, where they, trucking industry, why don't I just say it that way? And it was a very small company. It was run by a Greek family, and he had an office in Salt Lake. He had one in Provo and in Price.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very close-knit company. It was almost like one huge family.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very nice place to work.
Mm-hmm. And you did clerical work for
them? I was a cashier.
A cashier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you moved to the Bay Area, did you... is that when you went to work for the phone company?
Yeah.
What did you do for them?
I worked in the engineering department, and when I first started to work for them, and let's see, I was in there, I guess, a few months, and that was when they were doing the testing for the coaxial cable between San Francisco and Southern California. In other words, they'd do the testing from certain peaks, you know, to see if the beam was going all right, and the engineers would be out in the field, and they'd come in with these tapes, and I'd sit there and analyze those. Well, such and such a point was better than another point, and then they got that project was over, and then I switched over to another part of engineering where they would do a lot of pricing of things. They would buy up small telephone companies, and we'd price all the equipment and make a big book on that, because that would be kept up to date as to, you know, what the cost of it was, or if you're changing a pole someplace, or somebody's hit it in an accident, well, you have to pay for that telephone pole.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, how much is it? Well, in engineering, you just say, okay, well, here's that pole right on this page.
Mm-hmm.
So we did things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long did you work for them?
Well, I guess that was about a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So you did that while you were going to school, or was that?
No, that was before I quit. Because, let's see, I guess I went back in 1950. I started in September 1950 and went back full time.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked, I guess about the full 2 years on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back to school full time and didn't work anymore for a while.
So that was basically, some of the stuff, when you applied, did you apply specifically for engineering?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And was the pay better than, say, like cashiering and those kinds of jobs?
Yeah, I think it was just a little bit. The cashiering job that I had in Salt Lake, now that paid, $1.05 an hour? But it paid well because I was working more than 8 hours a day and I got an awful lot of overtime on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like through all the hours I put in, I had more money than I did, say, at the phone company when it was just 8 hours just straight and
mm-hmm.
there wasn't any overtime on that. But I can't remember my pay scale on that. Because I know I went to work as a file clerk until they had the opening in the engineering department, and that was just for a short time. Because then they started me in, and then they transferred me over within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I went over the same pay or if I got just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And then, from the phone company, you went into the part-time...
Yeah, I was trying to think, where did I go? Okay, part-time. See, the phone company, I went to school. We moved down on the peninsula. And...